And greetings. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and we're so happy that you're joining us right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Before we get started on our show today, I'd love to invite you to do a few things at our website at naturalnurse.com. For instance, right on the front page, you can go to the bottom and you can join our newsletter completely for free. You just click subscribe to receive free newsletters, and we only ask you one single thing, and that is just for your email, nothing else. Then you will get an email from us, which you do have to click and confirm because, you know, legally you're supposed to have a confirmation that somebody wants to be on your email list. We do have many thousands and thousands of people on that list, so we're so grateful that so many people have done that, and we'd love you. Then you just get an email. We're not big at sending them out. I would say once a month, sometimes less. We often do send out our classes and events about what's coming up, where you could join with us, both live in person and online. And our classes have CEU credits. We have CEU credits for nurses, nurse practitioners, registered dietitians, clinical nutritionists, licensed massage therapists, licensed acupuncturists, and others. But you don't have to be any of those things. You can take any one of our classes just because you're interested in learning. For instance, we have an Echo Cures for Cures where we actually go to the island of Jamaica. And then we have coming a class called Herbal Manufacturing Legal Considerations. That is very important because a lot of people like to make, let's say, a nice herbal home remedy, and everybody that we give it to love it. And then you go, oh, maybe this is something I can sell. And you start to sell it. And again, everyone loves it. And before you know it, you go, well, I'm going to put this on Etsy or somewhere else online. And wow, you start really selling it. And the next thing you know, the FDA is knocking at your door, and that's what you did not want. And then they come in and they take your computer, they take all the stock of whatever you made, they take all your literature, they take a lot. And then if they find things they don't like, you can wind up with, instead of a nice little business, you can find wind up with a $3 million fine. In addition, some people even go so far as to be imprisoned because of this activity. Really, that doesn't happen that often, but only if you then don't stop and desist. So now all the money that you put in, all the time, energy, Instagrams, or whatever you were doing about it is completely erased from the universe. And that all could have been avoided if you just know before you go. So that's why we give this class called Herbal Manufacturing Legal Considerations. So at least you could know. This class does have three CEUs for all kinds of providers that have a license. But if you just want to know because you found that, wow, I can make these great creams or soaps or whatever, before you go into business, please take our class, Herbal Manufacturing Legal Considerations, or look into that whole topic some other way. Then we have one of my favorite classes starting really soon, and that is the Natural Nurse Herb Certification Course. It is online, and it's 18 CEUs for those who want CEUs. You can always take this for just for your own benefit, or you may want to become something a little bit more serious called an RH, which is actually very serious. That's where you're a registered herbalist. And the Natural Nurse Herb Certification Course would be part of your training towards becoming an RH, which is a registered herbalist. And a licensed professional in other things, such as nurses and licensed massage therapists, they can become RH, but anyone can also become RH. You do not have to have a prerequisite of another license. So many people who get very involved in herbal medicine want to actually become a professional. And so they do work on their RH. So you don't have to be any of those things. You can take the natural nurse herb certification course because you want to know more about how to use herbs for yourself and your family. And this class actually goes on for 4 months. So it will be March, April, May, and June. And during that time, we have 4 in-person Zoom classes. So you're all together and we're together and you can ask questions online and we do a full lecture. But a good part of the 18 CEUs or knowledge that you gain from this class is because then after each class, you get homework. In addition, each class is archived. So should you not be able to join us in real time for any of them, that doesn't matter at all. Because right after we're finished that day, it is archived, which means you have access to the full class as if you were there in person. And you also have access to all the downloads and handouts and books, everything that I provide for the learning experience. And you have access to the homework assignments, all of which do have to be handed in at the end if you want a certificate. Now, a lot of people just take it. They're very happy just to listen. They don't want to do the homework. That's okay. Complete the homework in any specific amount of time because we actually will accept homework. If you take this class, let's say starting this March, we will accept that everything get handed in by December 24th. Of this year, which is 2022. We did the same thing last year. We'll probably do the same thing next year. That way, people who, you know, they wind up moving, all kinds of things happen in our lives. And then later they get a little settled and they go, you know what? I really do want their certificate. And they just follow up with all the homework. And when you do the homework, then you and I are in one-to-one because you send the homework, I correct it and send it back to you. You send your questions. We can even have a phone session. So it's a very, very excellent and cost-effective way to begin your journey into herbal medicine. And it's called the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification Course. And you can find it at naturalnurse.com under classes and events. Many of our live classes are now being listed also. In June and July, we'll be in New York at the Restoration Farm. In September, we'll be at Gilberti's Organic Herb Farm up in Connecticut. So both are online, on ground, and one-to-one presentations are in full force at this time. So just visit us if you'd like at naturalnurse.com. So in today's session, we are so happy to bring on board our guest, who is also a nurse. Her name is Amy Whalen, and she is the author of this beautiful book that I'm holding in my hand called The Heart of Hospice. Amy is a registered nurse with over 40 years of experience, and she has extensive training and experience in both conventional Western medicine and Eastern medicine, which she and I call traditional medicine, and we'll talk about that. Amy believes the integration of these practices can enhance the overall health of mind, body, and spirit. And she incorporates all these practices in the field, a specialized field of hospice care. And that's what led her to write this beautiful book called The Heart of Hospice. And thank you so much for joining us today, Amy.
Thank you for having me, Ellen. What a pleasure.
And I see, you know, we both found our way. So isn't it amazing that we can just talk together from various areas of the country and even the world nowadays? So some things have, you know, really evolved. And yet the whole condition of the human experience is actually something that is ancient.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So people who have had, let's say, people pass away in their lives. And, you know, this is something that most people can relate to throughout time.
Yes, and that is universal for sure.
And what is hospice? You know, I'll tell you, I thought really until recently that hospice was really only for people who were thought that they're sort of at the precipice of passing away very shortly. Was I mistaken?
Right. So that is the misconception. And that's part of the reason for writing this book is that there is a diagnosis that a doctor has to give and deem somebody to have 6 months or less to live. However, there are times that a patient can even live on hospice longer than that. They happen to be doing well, but they have the same diagnosis. They're still, you know, declining in some fashion, but it is a patient that has 6 months or less to live typically. And often we see patients come on in the last few days or weeks to live. And that is another reason that I wanted to get this information out to people so they can have a more dignified, peaceful passing with the support.
So let's define, what does hospice mean?
So hospice, when I look up hospice, back in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it actually, it's funny because my sister-in-law had asked me that question. And as a hospice nurse, I didn't even know what it was. But it actually means a guest and a host. So in the 11th century, the concept was adopted. And it came from a religious order, but it was basically to welcome travelers. It goes way back into the Crusades. You know, it's just hospice, hospitality.
Oh, like hospitality. I didn't know that. So it was a term used when people were traveling and then you gave them a place to rest.
Yeah. And then it became a place to rest for people with illnesses. And I thought about the youth hostels today that has a similar word where young people are traveling, or, you know, older people too, but it's less expensive and it's a place to meet and mingle with other like-minded people. But that word, I never looked it up before, but that's what it is, hospitality for people who are possibly have an illness and dying.
So it seems to have kind of almost like a negative connotation or a feeling of sadness and darkness, but I don't think that's how it actually relates when we get to actual hospice care situations.
Yes, and when I think about that, the definition was welcoming. Back then it was welcoming. So somehow, even if we change this name to another name, someone would still figure out that it means dying. And people often too are afraid of death. And in many cultures, It's a blessing, it's a welcoming, it's a moving on. And we're just opening that channels of consciousness here, as you and I know. There's so much more to the cosmos and life.
That's true. So I know that it's really something that you focus on as a nurse. What brought you to have so much interest in the work surrounding hospice?
You know, as a nurse for a long time, people don't realize, but you are doing death and dying. Even in, you know, I worked in the PEDS ICU for a very long time, one of my favorite jobs, but people were dying. And we didn't have all the tools that I have now. I was younger, but we didn't understand death. We were just doing drips and IVs and calculations and trying to get the person well. We weren't always focusing on the family, or we didn't have time to focus on the family because we were so busy trying to get that person well. So I think over the course of my nursing career, I realized that hospice is a place of healing and very holistic, that I didn't always have time to practice in traditional medicine. It just became more focused on the medicine and the charting and the care plans. And I found that when I went to hospice, I'm there last now 10 plus years, and it is a place that I can actually do nursing, real nursing, and there's real social work, real care, and it's loving and beautiful.
So how would you describe that? What do you mean by that, real nursing?
Real nurse that we, you know, back in the day, you may remember this, we used to be the primary nurse and have five patients going back, gosh, 1981. And I would give the bed bath. And as I would rub their back, someone would tell me they had double vision. So then I knew there was a medication change or a change in their condition. But it was through my giving a bath that the person would actually open up because I was spending time with them, where they might have had an emotional trauma in their lives. And then they're just opening up and talking. That was through a simple bed bath. Then nursing progressed into the nurse would have 20 patients, and then she would have, you know, an LPN, a home health aide. It's all great, but you would just be that nurse with medications going down the cart and just checking their name and date of birth and charting and charting and charting. Yes, we are important. I'm not saying anything about that. I am a nurse. But in hospice, you get to be all of those things, and you have a home health aide to help you, and a licensed practical nurse who is a nurse, and a nurse practitioner, and a social worker, volunteers. It's like this amazing healing of a team approach with the family and their situations and what they're going through. So it's so, the hospitals just don't have time anymore to do all of this in encompassing holistic care.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on special programming, which is PRN FM. And we have so many excellent shows here on PRN, and I wanted to remind you about that. And our guest today is Nurse Amy Whalen, and we're talking about her beautiful book with exquisite illustrations, which is called The Heart of Hospice. How did you come up with the name of that book, Amy, The Heart of Hospice?
Well, it had a couple of changes along the way, and I've written this book with my dear friend Patty Alvigi. We go back a long, long time ago, but it was going to be touched by the heart of hospice because I use therapeutic touch and healing touch in the book. And then another part was compassionate connections because there's so many connections. And then my nephew, who's my editor, Danny Whalen, he just said, let's just get to the heart of this. It's the heart of hospice. And some of my, I took a poll with my patients and families, and they all said, I agree. Keep it simple. It is the heart. This is the heart and soul of the person, of who we are. And that's the heart of it.
Now, how you chose to write this book, I think, is it a composite of many of the patients and families that you worked with? Because it's a specific individual. That's like, it's like a novel in that way. But yes. Is that a person, or is that a compilation of your years and years of working in the situation?
It's years and years of working. And this story, just through Patty and Danny and I coming together, I wanted to tell a lot of stories. And then Patty, through the sudden loss of her father, and I had lost my dad suddenly, I went to her home to write my book, and she said, what are you doing? You're scribbling your stories everywhere. And then I told her a story, and she said, my goodness, my mom didn't have hospice. My family doesn't understand hospice. Could you please call my mom and tell her this story? And then her mom was crying. It was 11 o'clock at night. And her mom said, I didn't understand anything about death and dying. So with that, Patty said, now I have the form. I'm going to infuse a little bit of my family, and then you tell all your stories. It's not my family per se, but it gave it the thread. And I was so thankful I had a direction, because I wasn't sure if it was going to be a book of short stories, like a Reader's Digest book. And now it became a novel, which it's just, I never saw a book like this. So it just came about like that, so that we could see what it's like for the family to go through it, not just my stories. You know, what's their experiences? What are they dealing with? And what's the process through one story?
Well, it's really, really beautiful. And another thing that I love about this particular book, which is called The Heart of Hospice by Amy Whalen, is that it's like beautiful to look through because you have, I don't even know, how do they do this now in printing, full color illustrations that is original artwork.
Yes, I just felt like I wanted to show this so that people can see it and people can read it of all ages. So you can see a progression, and just my artists were just beautiful and they just did it better than I ever could think about it.
Now, how did you, you know, get them to do these drawings that fit so perfectly in with the topics that you discuss in your book?
Well, the young artist who did all the illustrations in the book is a young girl named Lucy Ryer, and I'm friends with her parents, and I went to her house and I saw all this beautiful bright colors artwork, and it was just beautiful and bright. And I told her mom, I said, one day I'm going to write a book and I'm going to have Lucy do the illustrations in it. It was just simple. And even her mom says, people say things, but they don't always follow through. And then the cover, actually one of my old supervisors, she told me, Amy, if you ever write a book, hire this artist. So Andrea Shine. So I did Andrea. Andrea just said, give me the book and let me make my own photo. I didn't give her any direction. And so when she came up with this artwork, which I have the original in my house now, and I paid her for it, and that was her interpretation of what she got when she read my book. And I said, wow. So the touch was already there. So then we only needed the Heart of Hospice also. That just kind of happened.
Well, it's just, I'll tell you something, it gives you, just holding the book, of course it's also available as an ebook, but I'm so happy that you actually mailed me a hardcover copy. And of course my name is on the front of it, which I didn't even remember. Ellen Kam, my host of The Natural Nurse, and also I am The Natural Nurse, PhD, RN, etc. So I've been doing this a very, very long time, and I think this is a beautiful, beautiful explanation about, you know, the process that a family goes through, and really every family goes through, as we move towards the end of someone's life.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. And thank you for that praise. And I do like having The Natural Nurse on the cover of my book.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that until I just picked it up. Because of course, I'm looking at the book right now. That's beautiful. So in terms of the family, how do you bring the family in? Because, you know, in a regular hospital setting, as anyone has probably experienced, you know, your loved ones in the hospital, let's say it's not a death or dying matter, but let's say they had surgery and it's even complications, whatever. No one talks to you too much, like the doctor does maybe once a day if you can catch them. But you're kind of, if anything, shooed out of the room.
Yeah. So, that's not what happens in hospice. That's why hospice is filled with compassion and dignity and respect for the family. And oftentimes we go with a nurse and a social worker together to a house. I may be dealing with the patient and their pain or their feelings about death, and the social worker can actually take the partner, spouse, loved one, daughter, whoever the significant other person is, in another room. And then we have, they'll even individually take children into a session and see how they're feeling. So we have this amazing team, and we start to, the patient may want to die, the family member doesn't want them to let go, or vice versa, because it's too difficult. And we just break it all down into simple listening, compassion, and time to be with them. That doesn't happen as much as it could or should in a acute setting.
Well, I think that it's very supportive of many of the ideas of holistic interventions. And we're just going to take a little break right now. During our radio show, I want to tell our listeners that you're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. And we're talking with our guest, Amy Whalen, who is an RN and author of this beautiful book, The Heart of Hospice, which we will continue to discuss right after the break. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen, or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to invite you to visit our website at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. On naturalnurse.com, we have so much information. For instance, we have a wide array of podcasts that you can listen to for free, link to it, including our shows here on Progressive Radio Network. And we have articles, we have books, 16 books that Dr. Zamperone and I have authored, as well as articles that are right on the website that you can read about almost any topic in holistic medicine. And also, you can join our newsletter by going to the bottom of the front page and just click join our free newsletter. Just need your email, then you'll get an email and you have to verify you want in. Also, we have lots of classes and events. You can look at that link to find the ones that are coming up really soon. And then if you're interested in really a deep dive, you can always visit Natural Nurse Academy. And Natural Nurse Academy also has a link at naturalnurse.com. In Natural Nurse Academy, we have a very long list of classes that are archived on demand, very, very cost effective. And they grant CE units or you can take it just for your own information. Such a variety of classes on so many aspects of holistic wellness, such as eye health, arthritis, inflammation, thyroid, adrenal, and a lot of other kinds of information there as well. So go ahead and take a look at naturalnurse.com. Today, we have as our guest, Amy Whalen. Amy has been a registered nurse for 40 years, but in addition to being a registered nurse, she is a holistically oriented health professional with a lot of certifications and degrees in something called radiesthetist, which we'll ask her what that is, and craniosacral therapy and Reiki master, because Amy truly believes in the integration of spirit and medicine. And she talks about all these things in depth and in a beautiful story-like way in the heart of hospice. So thank you so much for joining us again, Amy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ellen.
So let's talk about these many things that you have studied, which are not part of, let's say, conventional Western medicine, which you also have all kinds of certificates in as well. But then when we look at your side that you were reaching out to perhaps more natural, what did lead you down that path of some of the more natural therapeutics that you have integrated into your practice?
Well, for me, I was fortunate enough to go to college in 1981 with Dolores Krieger and Dora Coons were the founders of this laying on of hands therapeutic touch. So I was introduced to this at a very early, you know, as a young nursing student, and I was able to use this on a young burn victim way, way back early on, where we couldn't touch and you saw the pain in her eyes. And I just had this amazing transformation back then with laying on of hands or therapeutic touch, which was above the body, and we couldn't touch her. And when I saw that peace and calm come over her, it was just so beautiful. And I had that experience again as a young nurse working in the PEDS ICU with this young man named Eric. He had been in the pediatric ICU even though he was 21 because he had a childhood illness. So he had been with these doctors for a very long time. And to me, that was a time in nursing that we did have more time. We had three patients perhaps in the ICU. And this one night, Eric said to me, how many patients do you have, Amy? And I said, three, you and two others. He said, can you give the other two away to the other nurses? It's important to me. And, you know, we just managed. I asked the nurses. They said, sure, I'll pick up this kid. I'll pick up that one. And Eric taught me really everything I ever needed to know, because I was rubbing his back, and this is before formal training, although I did have training in college. He said, you can't touch me. You're giving me too much energy. So I don't remember hanging all the drips and the meds that night. He said, sit next to me and just give me a little energy. Let me write a letter to my parents and, you know, an old girlfriend that I would never ask out because I knew I was dying. And anyway, this kid, Eric, I was like 23 and he was 21, taught me everything about energy and how to modulate my touch. When somebody needs energy, you can go that route. It's like a faucet when you just need a trickle. You know, we don't always need Niagara Falls. We could just use a shower, you know? So he really taught me, I felt like, and the sad part, except I was young, I don't look at it as sad now, but he died a half an hour after I left. So I was with him all night long. He told me that his parents weren't ready, that I needed to help them get ready. And we wrote letters, but now as a nurse, and especially in the last 10 years of being a hospice nurse, I would have seen that he was dying and I would have called the parents to come back. I would have had social workers there. We would have been with that family and Eric and me doing this whole holistic approach together with their feelings and his feelings, because he was able to speak. You know, he wasn't on his final days where he couldn't get all this out. So I learned a great deal, and I call him my teacher for that reason.
Ah, that's beautiful. So if it had been a hospice situation, already this supportive network would be in place.
That's correct. And now I would know, sometimes now I see private patients and I'm in their home and I see something happening and I say, you know, can I turn this into a hospice case? So I'm already there with the family, which is really important in palliative care and in other things to
Well,
let
wait a minute.
Know.
We're using, wait, Amy.
Sorry,
we're
I'm
using this inside nursing term, palliative care, which you and I know what that means, but let's explain to our listeners, what is palliative care?
So palliative care is really anybody with a serious illness is palliative. It's helping it's helping them along their course, but it's also a curative. You are in that path of trying to cure, but you're also giving holistic and possibilities of taking care of the person. So they do have an illness, but it's care and comfort the same as hospice, but it's before hospice.
So it's before hospice, but isn't it also included as part, you know, if you become part of a hospice situation?
Yes, yes. So palliative can be anyone with a serious illness and they're just not ready for hospice yet. They're still looking. They may be on chemotherapy. They may be seeking treatments. They may be getting dialysis. Certainly, if the dialysis were to stop, the person would die. So a dialysis person or someone receiving blood products give you a boost of energy and oxygen and feeling good. But it's still curative in the sense where the illness, without that, they would die sooner.
So I just do want to share with our listeners, since it's very current in my life, that my mom, who's 92, actually is in hospice care now. And she went through, I think she had COVID, to tell you the truth. She's had dementia for about 2 years. Before that, she was unbelievably fit and running around. Even with dementia, she continued being fit and running around, just that I had to have someone with her all the time while she's doing that running around. And then she suddenly got really, really just bedridden, and didn't eat for about 2 weeks. And we could barely get her to take any liquid. And she started out at 78 pounds. So, you know, after a week or two of no eating, she was very, very frail. And the nurse who came in said, you know, you might want to consider hospice, which I already was doing. And I did not want to take her to a hospital situation. And by the way, I don't know if she had COVID because no one actually even tested her. I don't know what she had. She just had a sudden, she wasn't coughing or sneezing or any of those kinds of things, just a sudden loss of ability and energy and bedridden. So we decided to do that. And the way this is set up now is that they brought in a hospital bed. She did not have to go to a hospital. I didn't want her to go to a hospital where they might limit visitation, you know, and so many other people who are ill are there. So they did and are continuing to do so much for her. And now, however, in the last few days, she's running around again. And she said, don't I have to do something? One of the nurses was there with her. And they said, well, what do you think you have to do? Do you have to go to work? She said, no, I think I have to eat. And so the nurse ran in and cooked her some food. You know, we had bought a puree and everything to try to make the eating experience accessible to her. And now she's eating, running around. And so, you know, then we talked to the nurse, well, is she going to be released from hospice now? Uh-huh. And they said, no, the reevaluation actually does not have to be done until 6 months.
Correct.
And the fact that she's still, you know, which I don't know if she'll ever come out of, have pretty severe dementia, can keep her on hospice. She doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be imminent passing away.
Yeah. And dementia is, it's different in so many ways than other illnesses. And that's a whole nother conversation, but they have a way of rallying, just put it that way, at times. So that's just interesting. Well, we're just going to send love and prayers to you and your mom and your family while you're going through this. And we love a good rally. And again, way back in nursing, when I was younger, we didn't know that a rally meant sometimes people are rallying before they're dying. You know, they just have this amazing, they want to get up and eat, they want to get up and walk. And now we can embrace that with families now that we know. And we
well,
just call it a rally.
That's something your book does beautifully, because you follow, you know, a very common path.
Yes,
that people have with things that, like you talk about, you know, the social worker is there, and then, you know, this person had a fall, and it could be a specific thing, like my mother, all of a sudden she was bedridden. I don't know why, we still don't know why, and for weeks, but then she suddenly, you know, got up again. So we didn't yeah. want to release that extra care. And I'll tell you what's wonderful about the hospice care is that they come in. And, you know, they really evaluate her, you know, they send people to help with a bed bath, any meds that she might need, which, by the way, is extremely minimal. They just get them to the house so you don't have to go out to the drugstore and stand on lines. And one of the most wonderful things is they have a 24-hour really great support system with a line that you can call if you're suddenly worried about anything, rather than running to the hospital or calling 911 with a big dramatic production.
Yes, that's what I do now, as I take call at night. Oftentimes I can tell someone or a family member what to do over the phone. And sometimes I say, would you like a visit for some extra support? And so I let the family decide what they wish. And of course, if they do die, I come out and pronounce that as part of my job as a hospice nurse as well. The official pronouncer, then the funeral home can come, and then that goes to the doctor. The main doctor then will sign off on what I wrote.
And also, I thought it was wonderful that the social workers and the nurses, they bring this up ahead of time in terms of, you know, what seems cold and horrible in a way, to have that information kind of in place already, like, you know, the funeral home. Well, what's going to happen? In my mother's case, God bless me, she lived forever. But in case she doesn't, we're going to have to get her from Florida to New York. You know, that's just, that has to happen. But that's like a physical thing that we won't have to worry about then, because we're setting it up ahead of time.
Yes.
So they were so helpful with all of
we're
that.
We're very honest in hospice. We're very straightforward in our speaking to families about where they are.
So you have studied all these other natural healing techniques, which I would definitely like to go into. But first, we are going to take a little break so that our wonderful station that brings the natural nurse and Dr. Z to you has so many other excellent, excellent shows. And also, of course, they're open for donations. And we would just like you to hear a little bit more about the station. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion with Nurse Amy Whalen and her beautiful book, The Heart of Hospice. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. More right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we are here with our guest, Amy Whalen. We're talking about hospice care, which, you know, you might think is kind of, is it a sad thing? I don't know. You know, it's part of life. Wouldn't you say that? It's really just a natural part of life.
Yes.
And yes, and then hospice care can make that ending transition is a little more smooth, both for the patient and for the family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we go to someone's home and we're there with the family, their faith, their customs, their cultures. We're treating the whole person. That's really the holistic, beautiful part of hospice and what that means to different people. Everyone's different. And we get to really just give them that dignity and peace as often as we can. Of course, there's always sometimes it may not work, but we really try. And that's another reason for writing this, is I wish people to come on early to hospice so we can open up all these perspectives for families and really honor them, who they are as a family.
Right. I have to say it's really working in my case, even though, you know, thank God for however long, like you said, my mom's kind of up and running around right now and eating. And she said something like, was I sick? Everybody's saying how much better I am. She said, but I don't remember it. I said, that's a good thing, whatever. But now you have a saying in your book, as a beautiful colored picture of you. As I said, this book is full color, which is, you know, just very unusual. And you have integration of spirit and medicine. So that's a quote from you. What does that mean to you?
Yes. So my walk has been a little different. And I met, I don't know if you know, well, I know you know, Dr. Linda Lancaster on a plane coming back from hiking the Grand Canyon with my son. And I sat next to her on a plane. And lo and behold, if I wasn't going to be studying with you somewhere with the natural nurse, it was Linda. But I think my destiny was bound in that way. So I've always placed a lot of faith in science and scientists, although, again, my understanding of that is limited. But through the therapeutic touch, through Reiki, I realized, and through the story with Eric, that sometimes spirit is even harder to understand for some people. And so we as practitioners in the healing arts talk about spirit as a human energy. But the word spirit, it really is, I would say, the invisible, the immaterial sides of humanity. As a spiritual person, one is connected to God or to nature and or to their fellow human beings. But I'm always, I guess just happened with me that I always wanted to connect on that level. Like, who are they? What do they believe in? Even if someone says to me they were religious and then they're not religious now, I want to know, you know, their life. And then some people who say they have no religion, well, do they worship, you know, they look at the owls, they follow them everywhere. They look for them. They look for the snowy owls in the wintertime. That's their passion. That's like, I find that to be spirit and medicine, following that guide, their inner guide. And I'm just there to be present and a witness and let the whole family know what each other's thoughts are on spirit and what that is to them.
And so you feel, you know, like you can bring it up and it doesn't have to be a specific religion. And what if they say that they're not religious?
No, I just want to ascertain the information. Yeah.
What if they feel that, you know, they are agnostic or whatever, you know, not really linked to any particular religion? Do they, yes, would they not like you talking about it perhaps? Like, how do you ascertain that?
No, I find that people are fascinated that we are interested in that. Sometimes, maybe during the admission process, they say not tonight, but the next visit or the next visit. You know, it's overwhelming. Again, as a nurse and a social worker, not just coming in to do something, you're doing it with them. You know, that's the holistic part. So you can sense when someone's overwhelmed with pain, or it's not time to bring up those things. So that's an innate wisdom of somebody who's compassionate in the healing arts. But oftentimes people do want to talk about it. And I do find it across the board, what they think. And I've heard the most interesting, fascinating stories about what people think and how they changed over their lives. I could sit down at their feet and just listen all day long. It's just really part of who I am, I suppose, in that sense.
Well, that's definitely a beautiful story. Now, I know that you list that you have studied Reiki. So I'm just curious, and by the way, this is kind of only nurses will understand this question, but there is a teaching called therapeutic touch, which is very similar in how I see it to Reiki. How do you feel, or do you feel there's a difference between those two?
Yeah, so sometimes, I mean, this is for me going way back. Sometimes in therapeutic touch, I'm moving the energy and I'm sending healing. And so in general, and I can send a lot or I can send a little, kind of like I was talking about Niagara Falls, or you need to send a trickle. In Reiki, we actually are trying to clear our own minds and we're not thinking of anything. We are just being present, and we oftentimes stay more still of that universal life energy. And how much the person takes in is their own innate body asking and receiving. So you can't give too much or too little. And you're just being present. You may stay even 5 minutes in one spot, and then you feel your hands would like to move to another spot, where for me, therapeutic touch, I'm sort of moving and I have more focused intent, which you can do. I use both of them at different times because I've just studied so much. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, so to me, they seem like the same thing, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Like what you're talking about is a very subtle difference that only someone deeply schooled in those two would be able to recognize. So to me, the outcome is quite similar. And,
yes, absolutely. You know,
so the one thing is in therapeutic touch, if you're a nurse, you can actually get nursing credits for taking it. Well, that's not true with Reiki, although that's another, you know, spectacular teaching of what I feel is the same thing, where we're connecting to a larger sense, something called energy medicine.
Yes.
I actually think is so important in health and wellness and in crossing the boundaries between life and death, or even before life, or the spaces in between those two, you know, energy medicine, where we recognize the unseen forces, is so important and so undervalued in conventional medicine.
Yes. And I do believe that that is the wave of the future. It's going to have one umbrella called energy medicine. We've been calling it, you know, one time they said alternative, and we're saying no, natural, the natural nurse, you know, natural, this is natural. But energy medicine could incorporate healing touch, therapeutic touch, Reiki, compassionate touch. You know, we have all these names because they came from different origins at different times, just like many faiths and religions come from different places. It's nice to honor them all, but it's also nice to have one field of study. So energy medicine is truly what we are doing. It's the vibrations in all living things.
Exactly. And you talk about that so much in, you know, something integral to letting go peacefully is understanding our energetic essence. And I think that's just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. If someone wanted to find you, Amy, and your book, what is the easiest way?
Just go to Amazon and look up The Heart of Hospice by Amy, A-I-M-E-E, Whalen, W-H-A-L-E-N.
And they'll find it there. That's the heart of
hospice. Yeah, it's a self-published book. And my goal is to get it in nursing schools, in medical schools, you know, so that people have a rotation in palliative and hospice care, and they can get a sense of what it's like for the family, and to see the compassion and touch and never lose sight of what we do as nurses and social workers and the whole team, home health aides. My goodness, we're, as you know, they're such an integral part of the team and the family, what the family's going through. So it's so important. Thank you.
And thank you for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again. Dr. Eugene Samperone and I love bringing you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we love to hear from you. So get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.